and continue with our study here in archaeology, looking at Babylon, and now we are on to Babylonian religion was mother goddess worship. And this is the world over. We're going to see examples of it, but this mother goddess worship is seen everywhere. Obviously, we see it here everywhere around us. As we just go drive through neighborhoods, you're going to see this mother goddess worship. The mother goddess and child were known by names such as Astarte and Tammuz, Isis and Horus, Venus and Adonis, Fortuna and Jupiter, Isis and Horus. You see a picture of them right here. Above her head is the sun, you know, the sun god. Tiki and child, here's a statue of them. The mother child were a part of the ancient Babylonian Egyptian zodiac. Has anybody ever seen some of this stuff? The, what do they call these things? The constellations, when you look at them and they, I mean, you got to have quite an imagination to make out of them what they're putting. The only way you see it really is if the drawing's all right there, because, I mean, what makes the child is two stars, maybe three stars are within the body of that child, but that's what they put there. And it really is, it's worship of the creation rather than the creator. That's what they're doing right there, because none of that's clear. Even if you look at the other ones where they see it's a lion and stuff, I'm telling you, the only one I've ever seen is the Big Dipper that actually looks like what it's supposed to be. Anybody else? All right, I mean, that one actually looks like it, okay? But this is what this was. They were a part of ancient Babylonian Egyptian zodiac, okay? In China, the mother goddess sun worship, she was worshipped as Xin Mu. And there you see the mother with the child. She was known as the mother of the gods and the queen of heaven. By the way, the Bible mentions the queen of heaven. Well, look that up for me, brother, if one of you would, please, on your phone. I know it's in Jeremiah, but I don't know the actual. Jeremiah 18. Just holler that out when you get it to me so we can see it in the Bible. All right. This was Christianized by Rome as Madonna worship. Okay, doesn't it look the same as all this pagan religion? Isn't it look like the exact same thing? Where's the difference? It's Christianized. By the Roman Catholicism has always done this. They'll go into an area to evangelize them. And all right, Jeremiah 7, what? Which one? 44? All right. But Rome has always done this. When they go into an area to evangelize it, okay, to take the gospel to them, what they do is they just adapt whatever they already believe. They just suck it into them, and they make it fit with Roman Catholic teaching, or they'll even bring in some of their pagan beliefs so they can win the people over, and the people will more easily just fall in and say that they're Roman Catholic. That's just history tells us that. If you look, in public school, I was being taught that. Okay, in seventh grade public school, I was being taught that that's what the Roman Catholics did. All right, that's what they were teaching, because it's common knowledge. That's what Roman Catholicism does, and this is no different. They do the exact same thing. I mean, just look at this picture here. How many of you seen something like this in a Catholic church? I mean, all over the place, right? That this is, they worship Mary, not the Father, not the Son. They worship Mary. Okay, now a Catholic can stand here and deny that, but they're lying. When I go to the Vatican, I've been there. Go to the Vatican. It's all about Mary. It's all about Mary. That's all Roman Catholicism is. It's goddess worship. It is not by the way, the Catholics do not worship the one true God. Amen. They do not worship the Jesus Christ of the Bible. It's another Christ. Amen. Okay, now some of you may think that I'm being harsh here. I have Roman Catholic family. I was raised a Roman Catholic. And I'm just telling you the truth. They do not worship the same God. It's another Jesus. The Jesus the Roman Catholics worship is not able to pay for your sins. Think, what? But I thought they say he died on the cross to pay for their sins. Yeah, plus Mary. She's a co-redemptrix. Plus keeping the seven sacraments and all that stuff. Plus confessing my sins. That's one of the sacraments, according to them, is confessing your sins to a priest, because the priest can absolve your sins, when the Bible says that no man can forgive sin except God. I mean, this is the Catholic Jesus versus the Jesus of the Bible. So we're going to have to pick which one we want to follow. So Rome has done the same thing. I mean, look at all these, the similarities of all of this. Every single one of these here. I mean, it just fits. It's the same thing, just a different artist rendering. Mother goddess worship is found in Hinduism. This is Indrani and the child Murugan. All right, let's look here. Jeremiah 44, what was it, verse 17 you said? All right, starting verse 16. Actually, we're going to back it up a little bit more. I just want to find where I want to start. Verse 7. Therefore now, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling out of Judah, to leave you none to remain. In that ye provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and reproach among all the nations of the earth. Why would they be a curse and a reproach above every nation in the earth and among all the nations of the earth? Why them? Well, because they're the chosen people, but because they had the truth. They knew the truth. God had given it directly to them. They knew it and they rejected it. Verse 9, have ye forgotten the wickedness of your fathers and the wickedness of the kings of Judah and the wickedness of their wives and your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives? Am I reading the same? Okay. And the wickedness of your wives which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. They must have been pretty wicked. They are not humbled even unto this day. Neither have they feared nor walked in my law nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. This is people today. I'm just telling you, this is where people are at today. They walk in their wickedness and they aren't humbled over it. They don't fear. They don't walk in God's law or his statutes. Verse 11, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah. Man, when we want to harden our hearts and we know God's telling us to do something and we decide I'm going to do what I want anyway, you better brace yourself. God's going to set himself against you. Against you, not for you, not with you. He'll stand against you. I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah, and I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least, even unto the greatest, by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. Do you know what he just said when they should be an execration? Do you know what he's saying in that? I don't think some of you are getting what he's saying right there. That's going to the bathroom. That's what he's saying. That's how sick you are to me. That's what you're going to be to me. Verse 13, for I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there. For none shall return but such as shall escape. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt and Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, so all the men of the wives who've done this, man, oh man. When we go back to verse 9, have ye forgotten the wickedness of your fathers and the wickedness of the kings of Judah and the wickedness of their wives and your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives? See, the wives. Do we see something common here? I mean, a woman has so much influence over a man. So much influence. That's why Proverbs talks about a wise woman buildeth her house with her hands. The things that she does. She will either build her house or destroy her house. A woman has much power. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt and Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. We will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto who? The Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her as we have done We and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? These women, this is the connection here. This is the connection God's making. The women led the men to say this. The women led the men into idolatry. That's what it says right there. The wickedness of your fathers and the wickedness of the kings of Judah and the wickedness of their wives and your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives. Then all the men, verse 15, which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by a great multitude, they say, we will not hearken unto thee. We're not going to listen to you. We're going to continue to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven. This is who it's talking about right here. This is the Catholics call her the Queen of Heaven. How many, there's a Catholic church here in Albuquerque, Queen of Heaven. And this is God's opinion of the Queen of Heaven. The women led them into this. This is one of the reasons why God says that a woman's not to be a preacher. Not to be a pastor. It'll lead you off into idolatry. You go to Revelation and look at what Jezebel did, how she had led them into spiritual adultery. I mean, this is the pattern. This is what happens. This is why this fits right in with our theme on the family, why we as the men of this church, we need to lead our homes. And I can't hit on this enough because our world, our society is attacking that. And it's going to call you a chauvinist pig and everything like that. And you just look down on women and everything like that. Well, no, a woman needs to know her place. She does. Amen. We want our children to know their place, don't we? We do want our children to know their place, right? We don't want them running the home. We all need to know our place. Every one of us needs to know our place. And it starts with the men. It starts with you men in here. You need to know your place. You need to know what your job is and what your duty is so we don't end up in following this. And you think that won't happen? Yes, it will. Don't be so foolish to think that you can't be led off that far. I'm telling you, in a matter of 5 years, you could be doing something you never thought you'd do because you just one step at a time. I'm telling you. Please believe me. It's happened to other people. Amen. But this is who they're worshiping. This Queen of Heaven that was condemned by God. All right, Mother Goddess worship in Hinduism. This is the Hindu goddess Sapta Matrika and Child. Note that she has a halo just as in Catholic art. Have you ever seen that? Catholic art, she's always got the halo. It's like just colored disc around her. Like, oh, you know, what is this? That's what we've seen right here. Hinduism. Mother goddess worship also exists in Buddhism. This is Guan Yin holding the baby. There it is. Mother goddess was associated with death and resurrection. The son of Isis, who is known as Horus or Tammuz, died and rose again. This was a demonic usurpation of Christ's death and resurrection and points to the coming Antichrist who will be wounded unto death and resurrected. All this fits right here, this worship of Tammuz and stuff. It fits right in with Easter. Okay. Let's see if it had that name listed. No, I didn't have it, but Ishtar. Okay, that's what I was looking for. The name Ishtar is this goddess, okay? It's Easter. The egg has always been symbolic of life. Okay, springtime. Why does Easter... anybody ever wonder why Easter, the date of Easter always changes? Because it fits with the spring equinox. I forget how they do it. It's like, yeah, it has to do with the moons, but it's a certain time after the equinox or whatever. It's like, whatever. I could get the information for you. But that's why the date always moves. Sometimes it's at the beginning of March, middle of March, all the way to the end of April. Because it follows the spring equinox. Because it's worshiping of the creature rather than the creator. That's what it is. Amen. By the way, this is why, look, nobody has a problem for the most part. Most people don't have a problem with baby Jesus. Right. Okay, I'm telling you, Christmas, we want to get on that thing. This is what's going on right here. Why does no one have a problem with this? No one minds baby Jesus, because baby Jesus isn't preaching about your sin and your wickedness and how you need to repent. Everyone's fine with baby Jesus. Amen. It's the adult Jesus they don't like. So everyone's good with this. But look, this is, I mean, we better not lift it up to something more than it is. We get around Christmas time. That's what this comes from. Amen. I'm just telling you, we just watch out. All right, Babylonian religion was cow worship. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. Okay, this is when Moses and Joshua are up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and God tells them, I'm about to destroy all of them, I'm going to kill them all. Moses stops them from doing it. He says, don't do it. And they've made this golden calf, and they're down there running around worshiping it. Now, if you start to study that and you get into the context of what that's talking about when they're worshiping it, that goes back to the pagan religious rites that they learned, and they're all running around naked fornicating. That's what they were doing with their worship. Okay, we don't realize that when we just read through it, do we? We don't realize how wicked they actually were and what they were doing. As they said, the people even make the statement, they're worshiping the Lord, Jehovah. If you read through that, that's what they say they're doing. And it's nothing but a wicked, wicked, fornicating, so-called worship. And that's what all the people are doing. Moses gets down there, they hear the noise. Joshua thinks it's war. He says, no, they're having a big party down there. That's music that I hear. It's obviously not godly music. Could we just think about that for a second? Why would Joshua think it sounded like war? This is what's going on. This is what God says as they fall into this idolatry. See, because people don't bow down to a calf today, to a cow today, we think that they're not idolaters and they don't live the same way. But they absolutely live the same way. They have their idols, they have their own gods, and they run around fornicating with everybody. And they do what they want. There's no difference. No difference. They're doing the same exact thing they did then. People everywhere. We run into them everywhere we go. How many people do you run into? You ever try and witness to people? You ever talk to people you see out there? I hope you do. Just start talking to them. Me and Court yesterday ran into a lady. She seemed like a nice lady. She was nice. She was a nice lady. She was very nice. We start talking to her, inviting her to church, trying to share the gospel with her. Court started out. He did a good job. When we get in there, we're talking to this lady. She's, oh, here's my daughter, and introducing us to her little three-year-old daughter. We're getting her ready to, she's got to go to dance, and I got to get her in the shower and stuff. I'm like, okay. So I start talking to her, and she's like, well, me and my wife haven't felt comfortable at the Catholic Church. And I can just roll with it. Okay, I mean, I don't change the expression on my face. Inside, I'm like, how wicked, but I don't change the expression on my face. I think Court was a little shocked when he was probably like, when he heard that, because after we left, he was like, I wasn't expecting that. And I don't think any of us were expecting. I said, no, neither was I. But she brings that up and she's, well, how are you guys about that? I was like, well, we preach it's wrong, it's sin, and we're going to preach the Bible. She's okay, that's what I thought. I didn't bring any of that up. I had no clue she's a lesbian. But what's she doing? She's got her own God and she's living the way she wants. Fornicating. That's what it is. It's no different. Zero difference. How many people do we run into as we talk to them that they're just shacking up? See, it used to be called shacking up. Some of you might not even know what that means anymore. But they're just living together and they're not married. How much of that goes on? And that's just normal. It's just accepted now. There's not even any shame with that. It's just like these people right here said, where was it if I can find it? I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it. That's right. Well, they weren't ashamed of it anyway. Verse 16, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. They had no shame. Jeremiah talks in another place. You can't, God's telling the people, you can't even blush. What does that mean? You ever been embarrassed over something that happens to you and you know, your face turns red? It's because you're embarrassed. You feel some shame over what just happened. But these people and the people today have gotten to a point where they don't ever even feel shame over their sin. There's no shame to say we had a child out of wedlock. Everyone's congratulating them. Christians are congratulating them. Stop doing that. Stop congratulating people that get pregnant when they're not married. Stop. Don't tell them congratulations. Don't tell them I'm happy for you. Just tell them I'm praying for you. You don't have to be rude and just jump all over down their throat and say, how wicked, I can't believe you did that. But don't encourage them in it. Just say, I'll be praying for you. Pray you have a healthy baby. You can tell them something like that, but stop encouraging them. Drives me crazy when I see that stuff. Christians telling them, I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy you're running around fornicating, sinning against the God that you say you love. Isn't that what's going on? See, there's no shame with it today. None whatsoever. Why? Because Christians are so scared and intimidated to say anything. Anything. I'm sick of it. I'm so tired of Christians acting like that. This past week at my job, we had to go to some place that makes missiles for the military, and we're building this huge crate for them and sending off some satellite or something. But we're there, and you have to check in and do a security check so you can get clearance to go in. So we're there standing at the front. It's me and another guy I work with, and there's two guys sitting behind the desk who are checking us in. And one guy's sitting there, he saw us the day before and checked us in. The other guy's new, and he looks at us, and the other guy says, you two are together, right? And we say, yeah, we're together. And then he's like, oh, I didn't know you two were like that. The other guy said that. And I was like, no, we're not, nothing like that. I don't know why you're thinking like that. And he says, well, it's 2017. And I looked him straight in the eye and I said, it's still wicked. And he just, both of them just stopped their mouth. Why won't we stand up and say that? Right. Why are we just like, oh, well, it's 2017. Why wouldn't I be a sodomite? I mean, come on. Right. Why don't we just start saying, calling it what it is? Just say it. It's wicked. I don't care if you like it. It doesn't matter if you like that I call it sin. See, it's because we've stopped standing for anything that it's gotten to the point that it's at. Right. There is no shame over it because we're made to feel bad for standing against it. Why? Because we listen to the lies of the liberal media. If I could help you with anything, shut your stinking TV off and stop listening to the news and the media and the garbage that they put out. I'm so sick of Fox News even lifting itself up as something conservative when the women they put on there dress like whores. Amen. That just cause men to lust after them. That's not conservative, by the way. Amen. It's not. So all of that thinking influences us. You girls, too, stop looking at that stuff. Amen. Stop looking at that and thinking, this is what's beauty. This is what's beautiful. Stop looking at it and thinking that that's how I need to dress. Stop. Amen. Stop trying to model yourself after that wickedness. That's rebellion against God when you want to follow after that. When you want to look like that. When that's what you're trying to be like and act like and look like. Stop. You're letting the devil, because the devil's the prince of the power of the air. You're letting the devil tell you how you ought to dress, how you ought to behave. Stop doing it. Stop. Let God. But see, we don't like God because if we follow God, we might look like a zealot. We might look like a peculiar people. We might look modest and people would look at us all weird. You know, I love it. When we walk into somewhere with my family, and I mean, because there's so many girls in my family, I mean, there's four of them and we walk in and it's me and my son. When we walk in and they all walk in skirts and people stop and just look at us and just stare at us as we walk in like we're some anomaly. Praise the Lord, we are. Amen. We're peculiar people unto the Lord. They might not know anything else about us, but they're going to say, those people are different. Amen. Shouldn't they? Shouldn't they? Guys, why don't we stop advertising worldly things on the clothes we wear? Right. Let's stop doing that as well. We're to be peculiar people. I'll have to get rid of some of my clothes. Man, I've had to get rid of a lot of my clothes. Yep, exactly. I've had stuff given to me. I've just had to, I can't even have this. I throw it away. Or I'll wear it as a pajama shirt or something inside out. I won't even still even show it then. Why are we so ashamed to stand for the Lord? Grab your songbook. Turn to page 413. We just sang this song. Verse 1, sing it with me. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Isn't that what we want? Do we? We better ask ourselves when we're ashamed to stand up for Jesus, when we're ashamed to say anything. Lift high his royal banner, or do we do that? Is it from victory unto victory? Or is it from covert mission to covert mission? You know?
Yeah, amen.
Why are we ashamed of the Lord? Why don't we start standing boldly for Him? Call sin, sin. Call it with your family. Call it with your friends. Call it with strangers. You don't have to be rude and mean to people, but you can stand for what you believe in. They want to throw out their sodomite agenda in our face like it's normal. Challenge them on it. I mean, just ask them stupid, silly questions. You see two men together with a child, be like, how'd you do that? That's impossible. How'd that happen? Ask two women that. How in the world did that happen? Do you need a man to get that done? Well, yeah. Okay, that's against nature. It's wrong. How mean. See, some of you are probably thinking something like that right now. That's mean. Is it mean to tell people the truth? Is it mean to warn someone if their house is on fire? But we want to coddle people in their sin. Talking about lost people, even Christians. So many people want to be coddled in their sin. And I don't know if it's gotten worse. I know every generation seems to say, you know, well, when I was a kid, it wasn't like this, and this new generation's worse. And I'm just telling you the way I live, that's how I see it. And I'm not that old. But I'm like, this new generation is worse. I feel like they're a bunch of crybabies. It bothered me when my kids were like, 4 or 5 years old, and they're giving out, man, we put my girls in T-ball for a couple years when they're like 4 and 5 years old, and I'm like, they're not keeping score. I was like, what? We just want to teach them the game. I'm like, well, part of the game is you lose. Part of life is you lose.
Yeah, right.
There's a winner and a loser. Why are we doing that? And then everyone gets a trophy at the end, a participation trophy, and then you got these brats grow up, and they're whining and crying and need a safe space when the president that they wanted doesn't win. I'm telling you, that's what it is. That's what it is. We need to stop coddling people in their sin. This goes right with our teaching on the family here. Stop coddling our children in their sin. You better start telling them they're sinners.
Right.
When they disobey, you better tell them that's disobedience. Amen. When they lie to you, you better tell them that's a lie.
Right.
See, when we punish our children, when we'll get after them and whoop our child, you're teaching them something.
Yep.
When you paddle your child for their disobedience, which is sin, you're teaching them something. You're teaching them that there's consequences for sin. Because you say, well, I just don't spank my children. Well, amen. That's wicked. Because God spanks His children.
Amen.
God will come down on you. He'll drop the hammer on you. He'll whoop you
amen.
When you do wrong. There's not a child I know that doesn't need to be whooped.
That's right.
I don't care who it is. Not one. If they disobey you in the least, whoop them. Whoop them. They need it. As they get older, it does change. But when they're little, man, when your little 3-4-year-old is talking back to you, nuh-uh, you don't tolerate that. Don't tolerate that. Why? Well, because you're going to raise a disrespectful child, but the way they look at you, because when you're over your child, and they're little, they look at you like you're God. Because you are God to them. Some people might not like that, but you are God to them. If you don't provide for them, they don't have it. So what they see in you is what they're going to see in Him.
Amen.
So we need to do the best we can. I know we're all fallen sinners, but we need to do the best we can to model ourselves after Him for them, for their sake. We better start doing that. We better start punishing our children when they disobey. Stop coddling them. If it's sin, tell them it's sin. At 2 years old, say, that's a lie. You lied to me. That's wrong. No, we don't do that. When they talk back to you, go, get their little hand and smack their little hand.
Amen.
Smack them. Man, my daughter, Janessa, the oldest, I think she was like 6 or 8 months, and she got in this thing of biting people. I mean, you know, little kids don't know. They just, I mean, it would hurt. And, you know, we tried, you know, a little flicker and stuff, and she wasn't learning. We no. And she kept doing it. And she'd do it to other little kids, and man, they, I mean, causing them to bleed and stuff, it's pretty serious. So my wife just one day just got her little arm and just bit her. She was watching her face, but she bit her until she saw her face change and she started crying. What do you know? Some people think, how abusive and how mean. She stopped biting people, I'll tell you what.
Amen.
Teach your children. Train them. Stop coddling them. See, children are smarter than we think. At a very young age, they know between right and wrong. When you tell them, no, don't do that, and they're like, and you say no, and they're like, and they go for it anyway, they're old enough to be whooped. Because they know. Because they know. Like, sometimes I think some parents are better off. I'm watching the whole situation go down. I'm at maybe McDonald's or something, and I'm watching this thing, Dion's, whatever it is, and I'm looking at this, and if I had hair, I'd want to pull it out. And I'm just looking at these parents saying, no, you can't do that. No, stop acting like that. No, no, no. And I'm just like inside, I'm just screaming. I'm like, just stop even talking.
Right.
Don't say anything. You'd be better off if you didn't say anything because your child knows you're not going to follow through on it. And they know they don't have to listen to you. So just be quiet and let them do whatever they want. That way, at least they know they're not going against your authority. Just let them do it. You'd be better off. But I'm telling you, parents, if you think it's hard when your kids are 2 and 3 to tell them no and mean no, wait till they're 16, 17, and older.
Amen.
Wait till then, it gets real hard. It's much harder on this end than it is on this end. If you don't learn how to do it here, I mean, just fold up over there and give them whatever they want. I'm just telling you. Give it to them. You better start training yourself how to do it over here.
Amen.
And train your children. When you say no, it means no. It means no the first time. And I get it. All our kids are going to push. We push, you know. And there's going to be times you let them slide and things like that. You know, every time I've let my kids slide, I'm like, I shouldn't have let them slide. Why did I let them slide? Every single time I've done it, I'm like, why did I do it? It just made it worse. And now I got to deal with this thing. But, you know, we all make mistakes. We're all going to mess up. But teach them that sin is sin. Teach them that what you say goes. See, hopefully next week we're going to get into a Christ-centered home or a child-centered home. And I just want to let all of us know I'm not attacking anyone in here. I've been praying about this and I want to help us. I want to help us. I love you. I care about you. I care about your families. I want to help us. So don't take it like I'm attacking you or I'm coming after you. I want to help you. That's why I'm doing this. And that's going to, I mean, as studying for it, I'm like, man, we got things we have to work on. In my home, we have things we need to work on. And we need the Lord's help. So it's going to be hard for all of us. But coming from this, they've made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. They just ran into idolatry. Full bore, what they'd been taught. What the world taught them. What Egypt taught them. Egypt's a type of the world. And they ran into that sin. And we have to start calling sin what it is in our own lives, in our families' lives, and in other people's lives. Just start calling it sin. You don't have to tolerate it. How come you can have an opinion, but I can't? Have your opinion and stand on it. And if you lose your job over it, you better find out where you stand, if you're going to stand up for Jesus or not. I promise you the day's coming that that stuff will happen. So you better decide where you're going to stand, if you're going to stand. If you're going to fold, then just fold. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't. You just bring the name of Christ down. You just drag His name in the mud. Shames me. Saddens me that so many Christians, okay? claim the name of Christ. They'll quote Bible verses and then they're cussing. Going to wicked places that no Christian should have a part of. Well, I'm going to win them to Jesus. No, you're not. No, you're not. Not when you're partying with them. Right. Well, Jesus hung out with the sinners and publicans. Yeah, and he shut the parties down too when he started preaching. He wasn't there hanging out with them. He was preaching. Try it then, if that's what you want to do. I'm going to go to the bar, hang out with my friends, and start preaching. Get up and start preaching how this is wickedness. Preach against that alcohol. Stand up and preach. If that's what you want, if you think, well, I'm going to reach them for the Lord, then actually do it.
Amen.
Stand up for Jesus. Hold that banner high. So we need Christians who will stand up for Jesus and hold the banner high, not cower, and not be ashamed of what they believe and where they stand. Just stand there. Because the lost world is not ashamed to let you know where they stand. They put it all over their bodies. They tattoo themselves all up. You know, they're walking around like a tackle box. They got all this metal hanging off their faces. They're not ashamed to show their banner, to show who they serve. They put it all over their clothes, or lack of clothes. They're showing you who they serve. I'm telling you, when they want to show off their bodies like that, they're showing you who they serve. And they can all think they're serving themselves or whatever it may be, but ultimately they're following after the devil. The father of lies. But no one wants to take heed. They don't just today, same thing. Like in Jeremiah's day, we will not hearken unto thee. They say the same thing today. We're not going to hearken unto thee. But praise the Lord, we can snatch one out of the fire.
Amen.
We can snatch another one out of the fire. We can get another one. That's what Jude talked about. Go ahead and turn there, Jude 22. Jude 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So you can save people with fear, it says, pulling them out of the fire. Some people say, oh, you're just trying to scare people with hell. Amen.
Yep.
Amen, because that's where you're going. That's what the Bible says. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. It's like they're dangling over hell and we reach in and just snatch them from it. We pull them out. But what else does it say? Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You're hating the filth that they're involved in. But you love them enough to reach out and snatch them out of it.
Amen.
That means you got to tell them the truth. Not coddle them in their sin. You got to tell them what they're doing is wrong. You got to tell them it's sinful. I'm telling you, you start talking to people, if the Holy Spirit's at work in their heart, He's going to point things out to them. He'll pinpoint it to them. Why did that lady bring up that she was a lesbian? We had no clue. Zero clue. Why did she bring it up? Because the Holy Spirit's telling her. That's why. That's why she brought it up. So what should I have said? Just, well, that's okay. Just come and visit us. It's okay. Don't worry about that. No, we tell her it's wrong. It's wicked. And I was very kind in how I did it. I wasn't like, oh, that's wicked. I can't believe you would do that. How dare you? I said, it's wrong. It's sin. And we preach the Bible. That's what I told her. And she said, wow, I was afraid of that. So, well, you come visit and hear what the Bible has to say. And she can. I doubt she will, but she can. But see, how are we ever going to reach people like that if we don't go out there? How are we going to reach them if we don't go out there? If we don't contend with people, how are we going to reach them? That's something else Jude said. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Contend, that word means to fight, to strive. See, if we're not willing to do that, in modern day Christianity, modern day evangelism tells you just cower down and back down and, you know, don't start a fight. You don't want to get them mad. No, sometimes we want to get them mad. Sometimes we need to get them mad. So they'll start thinking. We're to contend for the faith. We're to tell them, hey, this is what God says. Thus saith the Lord. And if they oppose it, then we stand there and say, no, that's wrong. We have to do that for their sake because we love them. We have to contend with them. We have to be willing to battle them, intellectually battle them. And there's a spiritual battle there going on as well that we don't see, but it's happening. We have to be willing to stand and fight. Stand up for Jesus. Ye cowards of the cross. No. Ye soldiers of the cross. Soldiers. Going forth into battle. That's what we're to be. Because this stuff here is alive and well. And the enemy is attacking on every front. I mean, it's everywhere. If it's not, he's attacking our family, he's attacking somewhere else. He's letting something slip in. He's letting a thought. Oh, pastor didn't tell me hi today. How come he ignored me? I'm telling you, that stuff happens. And people get their feelings hurt about it. You know, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, please. I promise you, I guarantee you this, if you stay here long enough, one of us, if not all of us, is going to offend everybody in here at one time or another. We're going to say something wrong. We're going to do something wrong. You know, we're going to be having a bad day and maybe we're just like snappy or something or whatever it may be. We're just tired, having a bad mood, whatever it is. One of us is going to offend somebody else. It's going to happen. It probably already has happened. So how do we handle that? Because I'm telling you, that's the type of stuff the devil wants to get in and just build that thing up and say, here, look at, can you believe they did that? Look at what happened here. Look at this. Oh, man, that person did this, and they did this, and they did this, and this, and this, and this. And it's just going to get you. You're like, that's right, they did do all that. How dare they? And then the unity's broken here. And when that happens, God's done. God's done. It's like we're just going to stay still. We might still be serving him and doing things, but his power is gone. When we're not in unity, his power is gone. So how do we avoid that? How do we avoid getting our feelings hurt? Well, we're not going to avoid getting our feelings hurt at times. But how do we get past it? How do we get over it? Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And it's this last part I want us to look at, in honor preferring one another. That means maybe they did do me wrong. It's okay. I'm just going to put them. I'm going to prefer them. I'll defer to them. It's okay. I'll just, you know, extend them some grace. I'll just forgive them. It's okay. They messed up. I'll mess up too. I hope they do the same for me. Look, I'm constantly reminded as a preacher in Proverbs, the Bible says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. I've gone back and listened to some of my messages and I'm like, that was wrong what I said. Maybe I just misspoke or whatever it was, but in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. If you get up and talk a lot, you're going to sin. You're going to say something wrong. So I'll just give out my blanket apology now. If I've offended you, I'm sorry. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. If I've offended you in some way, I'm sorry. If I did something wrong, please forgive me. I honestly, I don't know if I have. No one said anything, but I don't want you to have ill feelings towards me, towards anyone in here. So let's just, in honor, prefer one another. Say, it's okay, you go ahead. That's all right. I mean, after the service, we're all going to go eat. And you'd be like, oh man, they got the last piece of cake. He did that last week too. Brother Brad. See, it's just like, it's okay. Just let it go. Just let it go. Brother Brad needs it. It's okay. Just let it go. All right. Amen. They got to maintain, right? All right. Yeah. Amen. Okay. So we're done with that. Hope that